bit of light relief, we're going to look at an iForest 3 issue, which is not under common control. So Thomas is going to help us to understand what a business is.
Right? I hope so. Thank you. Yes, it's also a new item. And the committee received their request seeking clarification on whether an asset with relatively simple associated processes meets the definition of a business in accordance with IFRS 3. In particular, we think that it raises the question of whether the acquisition of a contract to provide services alongside the acquisition of an asset constitutes a business combination. This issue is not explicitly addressed in IFRS 3, and we are told by the submitter that diversity in practice is emerging because of this lack of guidance as far as the acquisition of a single investment property with lease agreements with multiple tenants over varying periods and associated processes such as cleaning, maintenance, and administrative services such as rent collection are concerned. While some consider the acquisition of certain investment property together with an obligation to render services to be a business combination as defined in IFRS 3, others believe it is the acquisition of only a single investment property. While the proponents of the first view think that the existence of output in the form of revenue implies there must be inputs and processes that give rise to business, proponents of the other view, the second view, are of the opinion that significant processes are required for a business as defined in IFRS 3. We understand that preparers find it difficult to apply the necessary judgment for applying IFRS 3. We have done some preliminary analysis and research so far, and we draw the following preliminary conclusions from the definition of a business in Appendix A of IFRS 3 and further guidance in paragraphs B7 to B12 in IFRS 3. First preliminary conclusion is a contract to provide ongoing services related to an asset should be viewed as creating a rebuttable presumption that there are processes that give rise, together with the asset, to a business. The second preliminary assumption is that services that a customer would obtain from an external supplier if the owner of the asset would not render it is an indicator that the service is related to the asset in the sense that it forms part of the integrated set of activities and assets that constitute a business. The third presumption is that the presumption that there is a business because of a contract to provide ongoing services related to an asset is rebutted if the services delivered are that insignificant compared to the customer's right to use the asset that they would be ignored, should be ignored in considering whether there's a business or not. We conclude the first conclusion that a contract to provide ongoing services related to an asset should be viewed as creating a rebuttable presumption that there's a process giving rise to a business together with the assets. We conclude that because every ongoing provision of services requires the application of some kind of processes. The third preliminary conclusion that the services must at least have certain significance compared to the access to the assets. We conclude that from the definition of a business in Appendix A of IFRS 3, which describes a business as an integrated set of activities and assets, we therefore think that the activity process must have at least some importance next to the asset to give rise to a business. We use the term insignificant as it is used elsewhere in IFRS's to distinguish certain levels of significance. If you, however, think of other terms that better reflect the level of significance required for process to lead to the conclusion that there is a business, we would welcome these. We think the conclusions above, or the conclusions presented, could be part of the clarification in IFRS 3 on what constitutes a business. We have performed an outreach to the National Standard Setters Group to determine whether the issue is widespread and has practical relevance, and whether the issue indicates that there are significant divergent interpretations, either emerging or existing in practice. We received feedback from 11 jurisdictions, of which 9 claim that the issue is widespread and has practical relevance, and there's significant diversity in practice, both within the jurisdictions and between jurisdictions. On the basis that the issue is widespread and has practical relevance, and that there is significant diversity in practice, we recommend that the committee addresses the issue to identify how clarifications or additional guidance could be developed to distinguish a business combination from the acquisition of a single asset or a group of assets when an asset and contract to render services related to that asset are acquired. Such a clarification might result in a difference between IFRS's and US GAAP, although the boards wanted a common definition of a business. To avoid such a difference, we would expect to liaise with the FASB staff when developing our proposals if the committee decides to address this issue to identify how clarifications or additional guidance could be developed. If the committee agrees with our recommendations, we would present a detailed discussion of the outreach results together with either draft, tentative agenda decision, or proposal for guidance or amendments at the September committee meeting. We want to ask the committee the following questions. First, does the committee agree with our technical analysis? Second, in particular, does the committee agree with each of our preliminary conclusions presented in paragraph 29 of the agenda paper? And third, does the committee agree with our recommendation on how to proceed with the issue?
Thank you, Thomas. And just the avoidance of any doubt, can we restrict our discussion of the technical analysis to the facts in the case and not to talk too broadly about what constitutes a business? The issue is an investment property that has some other activities. Right. So let's take any comments you've got, first of all, or questions on Thomas's technical analysis. Jana?
Not to want to be, seem to be difficult all day.
Okay, next.
But I do have a problem with each of your preliminary conclusions. I disagree with all three of them. And I guess I started reading this by thinking, well, if this is where we're heading, what is the point of IAS 40? Because every investment property has tenants. Every investment property has different types of other types of contracts. I happen to be a director of the biggest listed property company in New Zealand, but that's beside the point. But, I mean, we have a, and there are, the, every investment, I mean, the whole point is you don't occupy it. So other people occupy them, and there are, I mean, you've got collection of rent, you've got services, because there's usually more than one tenant, certainly if it's a big building. So it's just, that is what an investment property is. So I can't see how we could, or if we do reach the conclusion that it is a business, then there is no point in having an investment property separate standard, because
I don't quite agree with you on that, Jana, because the investment property standard deals with the property. It doesn't address the issues of the business. I don't know what sort of property business you've got, and I wouldn't like to discuss it personally in a public meeting, but the issue here is that when a large investment holding company, property investment holding company, if you want, acquires a property,
so you
does
acquire
it acquire a property or does it acquire a business?
And that's what I'm saying, that if it is acquiring, if you reach the conclusion that it is acquiring a business, then you will never have the issue about the costs, the acquisition side of an individual asset in 40. There is no point in having IAS 40 in terms of the acquisition of an asset because...
IAS 40 relates to the recurring, regular reporting of investment properties.
Okay.
This is whether it's a business combination or it's an acquisition of an asset.
It refers both to the acquisition, the original acquisition, and the ongoing accounting for it. So the original acquisition, you would never acquire an individual asset in terms of 40. But notwithstanding that, I believe that they are completely periphery. They are part of an investment property and therefore would not be a business. So I disagree, basically. But if there really is diversity in practice, then something needs to be considered about it, I guess.
Okay, well, to help others go forward, if it was a business combination, the investment property that was acquired in the business combination would be required to be measured at fair value at the acquisition date, and the other parts of the business would similarly, giving rise to other assets, liabilities, intangibles, and heaven help us, possibly also goodwill, would also have to be determined at that date. Going forward, the investment property would be accounted for in accordance with IAS 40, which is, as Charlotte knows, fair value through profit and loss, but it's not quite fair value as you would know it, because it is modified to take into account the existing rental arrangements. Now, if you want to argue about this, think about two different properties. One like this building, which has some very good tenants inside who are very permanent, apart from the ISB, who might be kicked out in a couple of years' time and move to some other part of the world. But assuming that you have just long-term tenants and there are just peripheral services provided, that is one type of investment property. Think about a retail shopping center with multiple tenants for multiple periods of times at a variety of rents that has issues of security, parking, cleaning and other services, including supporting the image of the XYZ shopping center. And I think you start to understand that there can be a business that is acquired. So, Guido.
Well, I agree with Joanna. I think for the technical research, I would also urge the staff to look at IAS 40, and because IAS 40 addresses an issue where you have an investment property, and it says when you only have ancillary or insignificant services, that's investment property. But if in addition to that, I understand, Bob, that you're making this example of the retail, it might be a business, or it's not an investment property at all. Because the decision is important here, because the rules for initial recognition of an investment property are different from IFRS 3, especially when you look at the transaction cost. So I would like to ask the staff to look at IAS 40 in comparison to IFRS 3 to come up with a conclusion. That's why I also have some problems with the preliminary views that are expressed by the staff. I think it's in paragraph 29. On the other issues, the way forward, I think you will come to that later.
So what's your issue with IAS 40 and its initial recognition?
IAS 40, initial recognition, I think it's paragraph 20, says that transaction costs shall be included in the initial measurement. I think that there are some issues that are different from IFRS 3.
You mean the transaction costs?
Right.
Yeah, okay. That's not just an IAS 40 issue. That's any...
I agree. But we are talking about investment properties here.
Yeah. Okay. Sarah?
Well, unlike Joanna, I'm never difficult. But today, I'm going to be. Because, like Joanna and Guido, when I read this paper, I kept thinking, this is an IAS 40 question. But I do believe it's possible you can buy an investment property and you are then in the business of leasing that property, managing, maintaining the image of the shopping center, providing security, whatever. That's the business that you're in. But what you've acquired is an investment property, I think. That's how I read the question, the fact pattern as it was posed. So I, too, would urge the staff to consider the applicability of IAS 40 in this particular question.
All right, but think the answer to the question is, yes, you have acquired an investment property, but in accordance with IFRS 3, you have acquired the investment property in a business combination, because there is something else that you've acquired at the same time. So IAS 40 requirements for initial recognition can be met, except that you're in a business combination. And that's why there's the important distinction. It's the tension that is created between IFRS 3, which requires business combination accounting, including the fair value of the investment property that has been acquired within the business combination. And then the same sort of tension that we create every time there is a difference, an arbitrage opportunity. Do you want to account for the transaction costs as part of the cost of what you've acquired, and then measure the fair value perhaps 2 days later and take a fair value adjustment down to the fair value because you're excluding the transaction costs? Or do you expense the transaction costs because it's a business combination? Because that's now what IFRS 3 requires. Bernd?
Well, I don't have very strong feelings about it, but I'm very much in the camp of Duranna, because if you extend it, and I know that you said we're not supposed to extend it, but you can use this with other types of assets as well. I mean, if you buy a train, for example, with a business, and then you have service contracts for this train, is this all of a sudden a business, a train and service contract and maintenance and all that? So you can start to construct all sorts of businesses in there, whereas you basically buy assets and have some transactions that go with these assets, but they can all be accounted for separately. So I don't really see the need for creating an artificial business here.
Scott?
Well, unlike everybody else, I'm usually difficult, but not on this one. I think the staff has it exactly right. I probably wouldn't have used the word rebuttable presumption, but I think the analysis here is correct. I think we do have a business in this case. IAS 40 talks about accounting for the investment property, and so it applies to the investment property that was purchased. IAS 40 doesn't talk about the difference between an asset and a business, so I don't think that that's relevant. We have a definition in IFRS 3 of a business, and if we met it, I think we've got a business combination, and we count for the investment property that was acquired as part of that business, obviously under IFRS 40, or IAS 40, excuse me. But I think the staff has got this right, and I mean, to the question of whether this is a prevalent practice issue, absolutely. It's a big deal. I talk to REITs about this every day, just about. This is a huge thing, and I know the big firms have been working fairly hard on trying to figure out where the line is, or even where the, you know, fuzzy gray area is, because I don't think we're going to be able to draw a clear line no matter how hard we try. But this is an issue that has been quite bothersome, and from my experience, the big deal is transaction costs. Goodwill isn't the issue, because frankly, if people think there's a lot of goodwill in the deal, they usually would agree that it must be a business then, because it was just an asset. You wouldn't wind up with a lot of goodwill. So the big deal is the transaction costs, because they're going to get expensed if it's a business combination, capitalized if it's not. And to your point, Bob, I've asked the question, how do you avoid recognizing a loss 1 minute later if you capitalize the transaction costs? And typically the answer is, you don't understand. Which, by the way, could be very true. I often don't understand, but I haven't figured out how that issue gets dealt with.
Okay, Ruth.
In terms of the technical analysis, I think the one point that I had a question on was the lease agreements. I think in the analysis you talk about the services as being ancillary services. And I had a question about how did you arrive at the conclusion that the lease agreements were part of the inputs? Why aren't they processes, for example? So, and again, it's related to the IAS 40 issue. I could buy an investment property with no lease agreements at inception, and then I could enter into them later. But you could argue that the individual property that I've purchased has the capacity to produce outputs, and therefore each individual investment property is a business. Or you could argue, no, it's not. It's a separate asset. And so I would like to see a little bit of a further analysis about the leases. But this issue of whether or not something is a business, I agree with Scott, is a huge practice issue, and it's not just in this industry. It's in other industries, and in particular in the industry to which Agenda Paper 9 relates, and there's a bit of a crossover there about the unit of account. And I think that's part of what we're struggling with IS 40 as well, is am I in the business of running investment properties, or is each individual investment property a business? I think we need to have a look at that. So I haven't concluded as to whether or not I agree with your technical analysis, because I think we need to do a bit more work on it. And I think the unit of account issue needs to be addressed. I will be happy to give you some input on what we found in practice.
Okay, Andrew?
Well, just picking up on the point that Ruth made, I mean, I think if we are going to look at this, instinctively, I'd like to look at other examples just in this one, because, you know, there are problems elsewhere, potential problems and diversity elsewhere. So was the intention, if we're going to take this on, to still focus on this one example, or use a few other examples to tease out some of the principles and the technical analysis?
Well, IFRS 3 is a converged standard in its broadest sense at the moment, but US GAAP has more guidance. In the US, it's authoritative guidance. And it would seem likely, and I think that was the warning that Thomas put in there, that if we decide that we want to take this further on, that we would then want to do it in consultation or collaboration with FASB, not necessarily the EITF. And one of the conclusions that we will come to is that because we had agreed the words, the primary words, before when IFRS 3 was converged, that the additional information that FASB has got would presumptively be the additional guidance that we will give on what a business would be. And that's the direction that we're likely to go if we take this onto the agenda. So if you're thinking that we need to take it broader, then I think I know what the answer is going to be. That's why I said focus on this issue for an investment property and see if we can address that one now. If the answer is we need some interpretive guidance which will help within IAS 40, then that's not a converged standard, but it might. We have to consider the risk that that would cut across the general guidance in IFRS 3. But I find it difficult to escape from the fact that if you have identified a business in terms of IFRS 3, then accounting for the acquisition of that business is a business combination under IFRS 3. And it's not an IS 40 question at all. So if you want to make it broader, then you're going to make this a lengthy process, I think. Janet?
I'd just like to, a couple of people have said that IS 40 doesn't talk about, if you like, the business or give any guidance. And I'd just like to remind people that paragraphs 11 to 14 absolutely deal with that. And in fact, paragraph 11 talks about, in some cases, an entity provides ancillary services to the occupants of a property it holds. If they're insignificant to the, treats such property as investment property if the services are insignificant to the arrangement as a whole. An example is when the owner of an office building provides security and maintenance services to the lessees who occupy the building. And then talks about, in other cases, the services are significant. For example, if an entity owns and manages a hotel. And so it does talk about it. So I think that we can't ignore what is actually in IAS 40 in terms of when you do and don't have an investment property, and it specifically says judgment is needed to determine whether a property qualifies as investment property.
That doesn't give guidance on what you do in a business combination, though. So,
I think they're mutually exclusive. My understanding from the example is we are buying an investment property. That isn't the question. Mm. The question is whether we're buying it on its own or as part of a business. So I'd read paragraphs 11 to 14 numerous times recently as these discussions have come up, and I always came to the conclusion that just because it's an investment property doesn't mean it's not a business combination. I think it's an investment property either way. The only question is whether it's being bought as part of a business or on its own. So that's why, Joe, I said that 11 through 14 or IAS 40 doesn't tell me whether it's a business or not. It tells me whether it's investment property or not. So sometimes the services are so big that it's not even an investment property. I didn't think that's what we were addressing at all. No, we were addressing a situation where it is an investment property. The question is whether it's part of a business or a loan.
Okay. Sarah?
But I think that's the point. I think maybe what we're saying, and perhaps not too eloquently, is that the additional work, well, here's what I'm saying. The additional work I'd like to see the staff do is let's address the question of when is the acquisition of an investment property simply the acquisition of an investment property versus the acquisition of a business. That's the real question. And I think the issue I had with the paper is there was the assumption that it was a business combination as opposed to perhaps just simply the acquisition of an investment property. So maybe where we could be helpful, especially because Scott says that he has to deal with these questions every day, maybe that's the fundamental question. At what point does this investment property become a business and therefore fall into IFRS 3?
Yeah.
The reason why I think we should look at IS 40, paragraph 11 and 12 that Jonna just said is that I think the submission identified the main problem, which is are certain services processes in the sense of IFRS 3, because you need to have processes in order to have a business. And IS 40 says, well, if you have only ancillary services like maintenance and cleaning, then it's an investment property. And that might help us to define or narrow down what kind of processes you need to have in order to have a business. If you only have those ancillary processes, we may come up with a solution and say, well, then it's an investment property. You need to have more added to that in order to have processes. And, you know, the question is, I think somewhere it says processes create outputs. I think it's in the appendix of IFRS 3. And the question is, do these maintenance and cleaning processes create outputs? You know, what is the output for an investment property? I don't know the answer to that, but, you know, it's hard for me to say, well, yeah, cleaning services create output. But we may come to this conclusion. That's why I think these two standards are heavily interlinked, and we need to look at both of them. Because if IS 40 says we only have ancillary services, then it's an investment property. I guess we would also then conclude it's not a business because we don't have enough processes in the sense of IFRS 3 to have a business.
So I'm not quite sure now, Guido, what you're asking the staff to do.
Well,
to make a judgment on what the dividing line is?
Well, I guess that's what we need to look at and what the staff needs to look at in order to make the decision whether an investment, or let's say some real estate that we acquired, is only an investment property or whether it's a business. And I think the important things are what are the services that are linked to this asset. And are they significant enough? Are they only ancillary? I guess that's the main issue.
Okay. We can certainly go further down that route. That's the direction that we had started off in. But I think just listening to what Joanna and Scott were both, how they both read paragraphs 11 to 14, it sounded as if one was reading this as giving guidance as to distinguish between an investment property in its own versus a business, and the other was looking at it as distinguishing between is it an investment property or is it PP&E.
Yeah.
And so that's the point that's not clear. So I think that's the other thing to bring into the analysis.
So, and I think that that's what I was going to say, because I think that the question is are 3 and 40 mutually exclusive, which I think is the same thing, because as what you've just said, I think that's one of the key things. Can you have both an investment property and a business combination? Or are they, if you've got one, you ain't got the other?
Right.
Do you think that's really a question that's worth asking? I mean, in a business combination,
you acquire
a variety of different assets. Can you not acquire an investment property?
I fundamentally believe that if you meet the definition of an investment property in here, it is not a business combination. That is my absolute belief in my interpretation of 40 versus 3. If I'm in 40, I'm not in 3. But that's my personal
because they're ancillary services. Some thoughts about that to come back.
Yes.
And Gita,
because
that's a completely different mindset than Scott's.
And that was definitely not where we were in preparing the papers. We were at the other end of the spectrum.
So, Thomas.
Motherfucker,
did you? Well, in the light of your preliminary decisions, I think not everybody agrees with you. So we need to, I wouldn't say reconsider them, but to consider them and bring them back in the light now of a slightly different question. So one question that we have to answer is if what is being acquired meets the definition of an investment property. So I suppose this would be, it would apply only to those circumstances where you acquired only an or several investment properties. And if one or all of those meet the definition of an investment property, does that mean that it is not a business combination? It's only accounted for in IS 40. Because I don't think there's any clarity on that at the moment. And we also then would like you to come back to consider the interaction, whether there can be any better guidance that we give on an acquisition of an investment property that contains other services to assist the judgment as to when those other services are other than ancillary. Well, I think you used the term insignificant. I'm not quite sure that ancillary is the same as insignificant. They can be ancillary and there can actually be significant. But linking us down into IS 40, which talks about ancillary services, so when things become more that they constitute a business. And then to contrast those conclusions with what is in IFRS 3 in its current implement or authoritative application guidance for the definition of a business, to see if we are potentially coming up against any conflicts there and what the impact might be on other areas. I don't think, unless Andrew wants to insist, that we should be looking at other types of business to determine whether or not services that are related to the acquisition of an item of PP&E or an intangible asset or anything else somehow constitute asset purchases rather than business combinations. Ruth, do you have any other things you'd like the staff to do?
I just think that the problem I can see you're running into is in paras 12 and 13 of IS 40, because if you only look at whether the services are significant or not, you could end up with a clash between IFRS 3 and IS 40. That's what I'm worried about, and I think that's a good question, is are the two standards mutually exclusive or not? Because if you conclude that the services are significant such that it would be a business, that could throw you into para 12 of IS 40, which says, and by the way, you don't have an investment property anymore, you've got an only PP&E. And that's where I can see the problem. I'm not sure what the solution is, but I think we have to look at that before being so definite as to what the answer is.
Okay, thanks. Any other comments or helpful hints for the staff on this one?
Quite a couple others have raised. It will be very hard to confine this discussion. Perhaps we can confine it to real estate only because of the investment property issue, but I mean, it's the line between business and assets comes up in all kinds of industries all the time. So I mean, assume the same thing, except that same thing here, it's property that's leased out to others, only it's not real estate, it's equipment. You're in the equipment rental business, and you buy a bunch of pieces of equipment from another equipment renter. Same issues, and we don't have IAS 40 to deal with. So it's going to be hard to, I think, confine the discussion.
That sounds like we're going to start redefining costs then, as cost is the price you pay, excluding any transaction costs. That would remove some of the tension.
Well, that'd be fine. If the board wants to take that up and expense transaction costs and asset sales, we do eliminate a lot of the reason for the issue.
Yes.
So that is my question. So I understand the focus on the scope now for this one, but getting the information, and then there might be some broader kind of definition issue for the business or investing property. So distinction between the two. How do we apply those things? Maybe we should see more kind of questions or requests for the clarification. So maybe since I'm new, I don't know how you deal with this kind of things. So foreseeable things, I see more similar issue which we don't know, we don't understand right now, but it comes to the questions. How are you going to deal with those?
Sometimes, Kaz, we just start off with a philosophy and an objective and hope we get to the right answer. But often the answer is something that isn't what people like. And it does that because it narrows the choice at the moment, that we've got a situation here where we've had a clear indication of significant diversity in practice, uncertainty about the accounting. If we now come up with a definitive or more definitive set of guidance on how to distinguish between an asset acquisition and a business combination, then it's going to upset some people who accounted for things differently. But I would suggest that we continue to focus at the moment on investment properties. I would suggest it's even better to think in terms of investment properties carried at fair value to help us to understand what the issues are. It doesn't need to be restricted to that ultimately, but keep that in mind because fair value is one of the underlying issues in here. And I'm sure somebody's going to come back to us and say, well, what about agriculture? Because we have the same issues that are contained under that. Agriculture is carried at fair value, and therefore it's not so much the transaction costs that are important or anything else, but it's have I got a business when I buy a farm? But don't do agriculture yet. The answer to Kaz's question is really we try and deal with the problems that people put on the table, and we try to create as few additional problems as we can. Right.
Thank you.
Thank you. That concludes the business of the public meeting today. I think there are a couple of admin issues that we'd like to go through in the closed session before we depart for dinner or rest. So thank you to the observers. We start tomorrow at 9 o'clock, and we'll just power off the video.